Our text is from the first part, the first clause of chapter of verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, the psalmist says. He has been speaking about worry. He's been speaking about fretting. He's been speaking about being grieved because of seeing evildoers prospering. And so we are instructed not to worry because their end is coming. We are called neither to be envious. There is nothing that we should covet from those who are going to perish under God's judgment. And so we are told to trust instead. Trust who? Trust not man, but trust in the Lord, we read in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. And that results in doing good, doing what is right, doing what pleases the Lord. And then we move to verse 4 where we read, delight thyself also in the Lord. So this is something else that we as Christians, as those who believe and trust in God, are called to do. It's a command of God. Also, this is something else. It's a great privilege that the Christian has. Delight. To delight. What does that mean? The word delight is a powerful word. It's a powerful force in our soul. And it can be used for bad, even bringing sort of catastrophic consequences when we delight on wrong things. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 3 that Eve saw the fruit, and it was pleasant to her. She delighted in it. She was pleased with it. She wanted it. She thought about it. And what happened? What a consequence. It opened the floodgates of sin. But this delighting, that is, we are called to be doing, is for good, as David explains in this passage. In short, what we delight in can lead to either a curse or a blessing. And so this begs the important question that each of us must honestly answer: in what do we delight? And this is not a minor question. Because you remember, Eve delighted in the fruit. Eve delighted in disobedience. If you look up the word delight in dictionary, especially in older ones, it's more expressive. This is an older dictionary that explains it like this. Delight is more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. So delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. Well, there is, of course, truth in this. But in the New Testament, clearly joy is more than that. It's more than human pleasure. It's more than human delight. The New Testament speaks about the fact that it is the fruit of the Spirit, delighting, rejoicing. So it can certainly be long-lasting as long as we are daily being filled with the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Again, the dictionary says this, that to delight is to affect with great pleasure, to please highly, to give or afford high satisfaction or joy. And here we are told to delight thyself also in the Lord. Notice the order that is used here in this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So the first is a command to be obeyed, and then there is a promise to be received. So there are two things. The first part is a command. The second part is a promise. And so we are called to delight. Delight. It's a command which changes us to find our joy in the Lord, in Jehovah here. Another Hebrew word that is translated as delight. It means to bend toward or incline toward, or which is a very fitting description of what our attitude should be toward our God, our Almighty God. We are bending toward God. We are inclining toward Him. The Apostle Paul gives us a New Testament parallel in Philippians 4 and verse 4, which you all very know well. It's, and again, that is given in the imperative mood. That is, it is a command. And it is something that is to be done continually. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord, and delighting, they are both the same thing. To delight, to rejoice in the Lord is to find our highest degree of gratification in Him. To experience our greatest pleasure in Him. To find that the Lord God, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is everything to us. He is the one who supremely satisfies our souls. It goes countercultural. You want to be countercultural? You want to be radical? This is the radical truth. He is the source of our joy. That's not what the world thinks. The world thinks that, no, God is not the source of our joy. He is the killjoy. But the scripture says no. He is the one who pleases our soul. When our delight, someone has said it like this, when our delight is in the love of God, our desires will be in the will of God. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we will want the things that delight Him. And if we attempt to delight in God out of a sense of duty, it will not be a delight, but what will it be? It will be a drudgery. That's what it will be. If you do it merely out of a sense of duty, this is something I am called to do. This is what God wants me to do. And I do it detached from my heart. Then it becomes a drudgery. And God never gives us a command without also providing the help, the enablement. So how do we arouse a desire to delight and to rejoice in the Lord? How do we do that? Simply put, we can't. We can't arouse it. We can't raise ourselves up. We can't stir it up within ourselves. But God can. God can do that. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 12. And also verse 13. In Philippians 2 and verse 12 we read, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only," just talking about obedience, he says, and you have obeyed me, you have always obeyed me, not just when I've been there with you, but now much more in my absence. And then he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a command. You work it out. You make sure that you're converted. You make sure that you're saved. For then it says this, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's what the Lord says. It's God who is working in you. But it says, work out your own salvation. This is a text that is to do with our assurance. It's not about actually making ourselves converted. No. But it's assurance of faith. But we won't go into this. But I just want to make the point that we are called to do something, but then in the next breath, the apostle says, but God works in you. It's the Lord who is working in you. It's His Spirit in you that works these things. So, put it in another word, we are to work out what God's Spirit works in us. We must daily make take the steps to renounce reliance on self-efforts, to muster up the affection, to delight out of a sense of duty. And instead, we rely on enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ alone can stir in our hearts this desire. So that's why we keep saying, the answer is where? In Jesus Christ. The answer is where? In Him, in the Lord, Jesus Christ. And it's this supernatural power of God to delight in Jehovah. A.W. Tozer said it like this: we pursue God because and only because He has first put an urge within us that spurs us to the pursuit. And when the Holy Spirit shows us God as He is, we admire Him to the point of wonder and delight. So that's it. James Smith, who pastored a number of churches in Cheltenham, and he pastored the church before Spurgeon in London, explains it like this. He says, sin has taken our attention off of God and fixed it upon ourselves or the things around us. Grace calls our attention off of everything else to fix it upon God. It directs us to delight in the Lord. It's grace that directs us to delight in the Lord. The Puritan Stephen Charnock says it this way: this delight in this verse springs from the Spirit of God. Not a spark of fire on your own hearth is able to kindle this spiritual delight. It is the Holy Spirit who breathes such a heavenly heat into our affections. The Spirit is the fire that kindles the soul, the spring that moves the watch, the wind that drives the ship. Just as prayer is the work of the Spirit in the heart, so delight in prayer owes itself to the same author. So, friends, don't think first of the desire in your heart, but first think about delighting yourself in your God. Don't begin to think, do I have the desires? No, don't begin to look within. Say, but I will delight in the Lord. I will rejoice in God. I will praise His name. If He is ours, then He is ours. So delight in Him. And then it is that He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight, Spurgeon says, is a Christian's duty. To sorrow, to mourn, to despair, these belong not to the believer. Delight thyself in the Lord. Now, what does delighting in the Lord, we've been talking about this, what does it practically look like? How tangible is this? When we say, delight yourself in God. You say, well, okay, what should I do? Well, we need to look at Scripture, what delighting is. If we are delighting in a person, we desire to be in their presence and to hear their voice. That's one of the basic things. I say, I'm delighting in this person. I want to be with him. I want to be with her. I want to hear them. I want to talk with them. And I want to be like them. And so I want to listen. I want to do what they are saying to me. That's what I am rejoicing over. What I see it as a privilege. So in Psalm 1 and verse 2, we read about the blessed man. But his delight, what is his delight, is in the law of the Lord. That's what he delights in. That's what he's cherishing. The law of God is his delight. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he's thinking about it, thinking about the word of God, thinking about what God has revealed about himself. Who is he in Jesus Christ? What is he doing through the power of his Holy Spirit? And I'm thinking about it. I want to be part of it. I'm so glad about it. It's opened my eyes to see these things. Before I didn't see it. Before it was boring. Before I would sit in the church, I would hear these things, and it was all boring. I wasn't interested. But now, I delight in it. I'm so glad about it. Or the psalmist says this, I open my mouth. He says in Psalm 119 and verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted. I was panting. I was thirsty. For I longed for thy commandments. Behold, he says in verse 40, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So he's just longing for it. I want to be quickened. I want to be made alive. I want to live in all of these things. So that's a key thing. I want to be, this delighting is wanting to be in the presence of the Lord, wanting to hear his voice by the scriptures. I want to be like him. Quicken me. I want to be alive in him. And it is a daily desire of the heart. We are willing it. We desire it. Again, Psalm 119 and verse 47 says, and I will delight myself in thy commandment. He has already made up his mind about this. I am not going to think of anything else. I'm not going to be distracted, but I will delight in God's commandments. And then he says, which I have loved. Now, who puts that love in our hearts? Isn't it the Lord? Again, we go back to him. We love him. Why? We love his word. Why? Because he has first loved us. So it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has reached down to us, and we have felt the love of God. We have experienced the love of God. He has saved us. And so in response, we are delighting, we are loving in the Lord. We should be like a young couple who is so in love that their greatest desire is to be in each other's company. And so all of their priorities are being rearranged. They are setting their dates, they are setting their time, and all of these things, they're trying to figure out how could they be together for longer. Why? Not because that was their duty, but because it was their greatest desire and delight. That's why. And this begs the question, as I said earlier on, do I delight in God's word like this? Do I delight in my Savior, Jesus Christ, like this? Do I set aside time to commune with him in his word because I just want to be with him? I want to grow in him. I want to become like him. I delight to hear his voice speaking to me. Has my quiet time become too quiet, we could say? Because I have begun to see it more as a duty than a delight. Delight. Delight thyself in the Lord. Now, when we talk about this delighting, we need to delight as well in the things we should rejoice in, the things that pleases God. Or we could say we should delight in the things that God delights in. What are some of the things that God delights in? If you scan through the scriptures, if you search out that word and see where does the Bible says that these are the things that God delights in. And then you look at other passages that says these are the things that God does not delight in. So let's just think about it. A few verses. What are some of the things that God delights in? 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. It speaks about obedience. And Samuel said, 1 Samuel 15:22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Is God delighting in sacrifices? Or does he delight more in obedience? Obedience to what he has said. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So, we should delight in obedience. We should delight in in doing what the Lord has said. And so someone says, oh, you are so narrow. Oh, you are so so strict about things. You can change the word strict to the word delighting. It changes your attitude to things. It changes your demeanor. I delight in this. It's not a chore. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. And I love it more than anything else because God has said it. And I want to simply obey him in this. Another text speaks about, similarly, it's about following the Lord in his way. It says this in Psalm 37, verse 23. It's the same psalm. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It's God in God's way. God is delighting that this man is stepping in the right direction, going in the right way. And so I see someone else, a Christian, who is following the Lord more closer than me. I should be delighting. I should be encouraging them. I should be thankful. Here is a brother, here is a sister, and they are walking in the right way, in the way of the Lord. And so I'm rejoicing. I'm not envious of them, but I'm rejoicing with them. And I'm also rejoicing in the fact of some of the things that I see. God has shown these things to me. And I say, Lord, teach me more about following thee. I want my steps to be ordered by thee. Another thing that we read about is it's recorded in Proverbs 11 and verse 1. Proverbs 11 verse 1. It speaks about fairness. God delights in fairness. And you think about, this is what God delights in. And I want to be fair. Or it speaks about justice. I want to be just in this matter. I want to do the right thing. Or it speaks about truthfulness and faithfulness. So in Proverbs we read, Proverbs 11 verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. That's the thing that God hates. But a just weight is his delight. A just weight, a fair weight, a true weight. When the weight is faithful in business, when you are doing your business right, in whatever way other people may view it, it doesn't matter. But if God sees it as being right and true and honest, then I delight in it. I want the same thing. So when we are talking about delighting in the Lord, these are some of the things. And I thank God for it. I want it. Another thing is prayer. God delights in prayer. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, we read this. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So even when the wicked come and they bring sacrifices to God, God sees it as abomination. But the prayer, just the prayer, nothing big, but just a prayer, a prayer that costs nothing, a prayer of the upright is his delight. That's what he sees. He delights in it. So when God's people come together to pray, when you are in your closet praying, you think God's smile is upon this. However I feel, God is smiling upon me. He's delighting to hear his children cry. And we stumble in our prayers. Sometimes we say the wrong things. Sometimes we even doctrinally, theologically, we say sometimes some foolish things. We've all done it, haven't we? We talk about the Father dying for us on the cross. And we don't think about what we are saying sometimes. And the Lord sees these things, but the issue is that he sees that here's my child stumbling and falling, and as a little child, a toddler, just taking the first steps and bumping around and falling around, and the parents are rejoicing. It doesn't matter if they are falling. And the Lord sees these things too. And none of our prayers are perfect anyway. We ought to be correct. Yes, we ought to be right. Yes, and that's why the Lord Jesus has, and the Bible is full of instruction about what to pray for, how to pray, and such things. But to think ultimately, this is what God delights in. And so that's, we should be delighting in the same as well. You hear one of God's children praying, you rejoice. Here is someone else praying to God. Here is someone else praising God. Another point is this, that we read in Jeremiah 9 and verses 23 and 24. What does God delight in? This is what God delights in, and we ought to be delighting in the same. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what are those things that God delights in? Loving kindness, his mercy. That's another word that is used for mercy. His loving kindness. And I delight in this too. I want the same thing too. I want to demonstrate this loving kindness of God. And then judgment too. His judgments are right. And I delight in it. And righteousness. All that glorifies him. All that is right. And in Micah 7 and verse 18, we read of his mercy. I'm just giving you examples. This is not an exhaustive illustration of what God delights in, but just a handful of things. His mercy too. Who is a God like unto thee, Micah 7:18, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. So you see someone showing mercy, you delight in it. You see God being merciful to you, a sinner, you delight in it. You see God being merciful to another sinner, you delight in it. God has been merciful. I rejoice. I praise him. I'm so thankful. So our prayer should be made, the Holy Spirit, revive our hearts according to his own word, that we might be like Jeremiah, who said, thy word were found, and I did eat them. And thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. So if we are truly delighting in the Lord, we desire not only to spend time with him, listening to his voice from his word, but also longing to speak with him. To be like Mary at Jesus' feet. Not busy about like Martha, where everything has its own time. Everything has its own place. At that point, Mary was doing the right thing. That one thing needful. To be at Jesus' feet. But Martha was distracted. Worried. Fretting. Bothered about many things. But we must be delighting in Jesus' words. He said this, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Delighting in the Lord. Now, what do you do when you don't want to delight in the Lord, you don't desire to delight in the Lord, what should you do in that situation? We are very complicated creatures. There are times in our lives that we feel so affected by things around us and sin and temptation of Satan, that there are times that in our foolishness we think, I don't really want to praise God. I don't really find anything in my life that I can delight in the things of God. What should I do? And we would be not being honest if we say that I'm always delighting in the Lord. Always things are going in such a way that I'm always found in a place of delighting in God. What happens? What should I do? This is what the scripture says in Philippians 3 and verse 12. Paul says this, Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He says, I am not somebody who has now got everything right, got everything perfect. No, no. But I follow after, he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See what he's saying? He says, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ has apprehended me. That's the thing that matters the most. Not me getting everything right. Not me even getting my own feelings right. No, but to know that Jesus Christ has apprehended me. He's taken me. That's the thing that matters the most. That's the final thing I'm holding on to. Jesus Christ has loved me and given himself for me. That's the thing. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about what I have done. It's about what he has done. And if he has caught me, then he will not let me go. That love that will not let me go, we sing about. And when we delight ourselves in this infinite God, then our infinite desires begin to be changed by his indwelling and transforming spirit into his desires, into his eternal desires. And then it is that, as the hymn says, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In Habakkuk, we read these words. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's going back to his salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. In Romans 5:11 we read, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Delight thyself also in the Lord. This world offers to us things to delight in, but they will fade away. This world will give us the treasures, the lands, the people, the friendships, the relationships, the jobs, the many other things, and your mind might go after those things. But always pull yourself back. Always take a step back and say, am I delighting in this? Am I really? Is this my ultimate delight? Is this the thing that is really making me happy ultimately? What if God was to take this away? Would my world then collapse? If God was to take away my wife, my spouse, my children, would my world so collapse that my joy and delight in God would also vanish with it? What would you say to Job? What would you say to him? Did his world collapse? No, his hope was found in the Lord. His delight was in his Lord. Even though his wife said, curse God and die. Even his friends spoke words that were wrong. He would not. He was delighting in God. His hope was somewhere else. So here we are called. What a privilege this is. Delight thyself. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. And you do it always. What a privilege. May God then bless these few thoughts to us.